Hello, everybody. We're talking about sleep today. And I just want you to know that skimping on sleep doesn't just make us groggy, it blurs our mental focus, disrupts our emotional balance, and hampers productivity. So if your sleep suffers, so does your quality of life. I can tell you about that. And we're going to talk about it a lot today. Today, we're peeling back the curtain on this critical subject with our expert, Carice Laguerre. Carice is a trailblazer in the field of alternative health, a registered dental hygienist and myofunctional therapist. Through her practice, the MyoSpot, she uses teletherapy to aid clients battling conditions like sleep apnea, been there, done that, still doing that, TMJ disorders, and anxiety. She's also the author of Accomplished: How to Sleep Better, Eliminate Burnout, and Execute Goals, which is a practical guide that deeply explores sleep and provides actionable tips to enhance the quality of life, sleep, manage stress, and accomplish goals. Carice is shaping the healthcare landscape, and we're lucky to have her insights today. So sit back, relax. You can even ask questions if you want to. This is going to be an awesome show. And here we go. Carice, it's been a long time since I've done this. I want to ask you, who do you want to do a shout out to?
I'd like to do a shout out to my wonderful husband, Harvey Laguerre. He is a big force behind me and all that I'm able to do, an absolutely phenomenal person, and the first person I ever had the experience of like really seeing with sleep apnea.
That is awesome. Harvey, welcome to the show. And we can talk about sleep apnea. You ask her some questions while we're on the show. Just write it in the comments while you're there. Hey, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to jump right into this subject of sleep and productivity and goals. So, first of all, how does sleep impact our ability to accomplish goals and reach our potential? We'll start there.
Absolutely. So sleep, I think a lot of people think of it as just something that we have to do, right? You just have to go to sleep. But nobody really dives into why we need to sleep. We actually are sleeping because it is a restorative process for our bodies. So for our bodies, we're going to get a lot of regenerative properties, such as cell rejuvenation. Our immune system is definitely going to work its best there. We've got a lot of lymphatic drainage that's going to happen. But our cognitive health is actually only done at night. So memory and memory input, the brain being able to detox itself, that only happens at night. A lot of our brain function is actually higher at night. So if we are not getting good sleep, then none of that good, wonderful restorative processes are happening. And so now we've got an impact, a negative impact on our cognitive health. That's going to impact your ability to focus the next day, your ability to really critically think out things. You're going to lose some gray matter. You'll definitely lose some of your memory potential. You're
Okay.
already at a deficit when you don't get a good night of sleep, because that next day is not going to have your brain at its best.
Can you actually, not maybe you, but can one actually look at the brain through whatever scanners and see the functions being less because we did not get enough sleep?
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of different studies. You can do a sleep study connected with a lot of different wires that are going to watch every single thing that's going on, including your brain activity. But yes, you absolutely can watch the brain while you are sleeping, and it is an interesting thing to be able to look at.
Okay, so we got the brain, we got breathing. And I know that you mentioned in your book, you talk about like proper breathing, and it's the foundation of productivity and making things happen. Why is that? And explain that to me.
Breathing is the foundation for all of us. So we can go for weeks without food, we can go for days without water, but none of us can go for mere minutes without air. We need air. We have to breathe, right? And so all of those restorative processes that we talked about just a minute ago, none of those are happening if your body is struggling to breathe. So when you lay down to sleep, let's just imagine for a second our body's actually laying down flat on our backs to go to sleep. First thing that we're being impacted by is gravity. So gravity is already having a downward push on everything. the first stage of sleep is going to be all of the muscles relaxing. With all of those muscles relaxing and the forces of gravity, now we're looking at a potential for a compromised airway, because all of those muscles in our throat starts to relax and the gravity is on top of us too. So now the body has to maintain that open airway space. It's got to maintain it, because if we're not breathing, we're not living. And so if it's looking to how it's going to sustain your life, it's definitely not looking to do any sort of cell rejuvenation. Like, we're not going to do any of that other stuff. All of that is to the side. If we can't breathe, that's the primary focus. And that's now going to disrupt the body being able to regulate through some of those sleep cycles appropriately and to do all of those restorative processes.
Okay. So one of the first things that you said was, if you're sleeping, you lay on your back. And I know you got back, side, and stomach sleepers.
Yeah.
What's the difference between left side, right side, back, and stomach?
For some people, there is no difference. For a lot of people, there's a huge difference. A big portion of it will be where your tongue is placed when a lot of that is happening. So if you're on your back, your tongue is most likely to be pushed down by that gravity too and fall in and help along with those muscles that are kind of collapsing on each other to help occlude that respiratory space. And so that creates a little less space for you. If you're on your stomach, it's the opposite effect, where your tongue is probably pushed a little forward, but the whole body of the tongue, if it's not up and connected to the air, to the palate, it's not going to be fully out of the airway. It's just kind of smushed a little bit forward in that way. Most likely your head is tilted one way or the other. If you're sleeping on your stomach, there are some people who do sleep directly face down, but that is not a great way
not optimal hours on end.
So it will impact the start of your sleep, but not necessarily the duration of such. And then when you're on your sides, it's more of a cardiac issue, whether or not you're getting your blood to be able to pump appropriately, the left side versus the right side. If you're tossing and turning at night and you're alternating different positions, and you wake up in a different position than when you were, and your sheets are all over the bed, that's the real problem, honestly. You're able to get good restorative sleep sleeping on your side, sleeping on your stomach, sleeping on your back. I don't care which way you sleep. But for some people, positional sleep apnea is a thing, and sleeping on their back is absolutely detrimental for their ability to sustain sleep.
Got it. So we got the sides, the positions. Another thing that we talked about was the actual breathing. Now, you can breathe through your mouth, you can breathe through your nose. Now, is there a difference between the mouth breathing and nose breathing?
Absolutely. That's such a great question. So yes, just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. We can breathe through our mouth, but it's kind of like the backup process, right? So you can do a lot of different things with a lot of different body parts, but where we are optimally supposed to intake our oxygen is through our nose. Our nose is built to filter, warm, moisturize the air that comes in. And that is where we are producing nitric oxide, which is this wonderful chemical that helps all of that oxygen bind to the receptors of the hemoglobin. Because we know that that's where the blood is really where we're getting all of our oxygen throughout the body. So it's going to help it to bind appropriately and to get all of that moving well. And so we need to be breathing through our nose, because there's nowhere to filter. There's nowhere to moisturize. There's nowhere to actually produce that nitric oxide if you're taking in air through your mouth. And it's really only detrimental in the long run, because now you're potentially drying out the mouth. You're not having your tongue stimulating the roof of the mouth, which is actually where a lot of good breathing is happening. It's going to affect a lot of different things. If you're breathing through your mouth, it's just not the healthiest way for you to intake air.
Oh, wow. So just a question here. And I know, like, when I was in middle school and was able to run back in the day, you run, you get tired, and we all breathe through our mouth. Is it just because we get more air in that way? Or would it be better if we could force ourselves to really, like, you know, breathe in through the nose to get more air instead of through the mouth when you're running and you're tired?
That's a really great question. I love that. So we have a lot of athletes where you may see that happening too, right? A lot of times, especially with running, you'll see that there are athletes who are running, and they're running the entire time with their mouths closed. And that's actually how they're powering up their bodies. You're getting better oxygen flow. Your muscles are able to work better. You're able to actually perform better when you're nasal breathing. So it is better for you to be able to sustain nasal breathing while you are active. It's a conscious practice. It's something that you have to build up to and be able to do. Those of us who are not very much in shape, and I will raise my hand too, I am not in great shape. When the body gets tired, it is a coping mechanism to be able to pull in and deeply breathe from your mouth and exhale from your mouth. But you're actually not restoring any of your muscles in that way. If anything, you're fatiguing faster.
Gotcha. So just walk us through, like, how did you come to realize the difference between like the mouth breathing and nose breathing and its role in sleep and like accomplishment, I guess?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a mom of four. Okay. And just like most things, once I became a mom, everything changed for my life. And in my journey with my children, my four children, they had various different issues. It was a pediatric dentist that really brought to light to me a lot of how they were breathing and how they were using their orofacial muscles were causing some of the issues. So just to give you a brief glimpse into some of my decade-long struggle with my children, my son is my only boy, my oldest. He had a lot of emotional and focus and behavioral control issues. My daughter, my oldest daughter, had every sleep issue under the sun, you name it, 10 years straight. We were guaranteed at least bedwetting and one other sleep issue. So whether it be sleepwalking, sleep talking, night terrors, all of the things we went through for 10 years straight every single night. And then my younger two had a lot of upper respiratory issues. So between chronic congestion, ear infections, throat infections, it was constant. We were always at the pediatrician's office. And a lot of that stuff is really common. So you almost tend to think for a way that you might be living a normal life, but just because it's common is not an indication of normal. And so a lot of that, and what, even though these children are genetically similar, a lot of what manifested for them was based around how they were breathing and how they were using their oral facial muscles. And once we kind of got over that hump, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I was able to meet my children for the first time once they were out of that shield that really prevents you from being your full self. Once they were getting good sleep, they were growing better, developing better. We were night and day from where we were before. And I'm so grateful that I had to just spread the message as far and wide as I can.
Well, I mean, you think of breathing as just something that happens. You don't really think about breathing. It's just like, it's there. We're both breathing right now. We're all breathing, watching the show, but it impacts your life like heavily if you aren't doing it right. Like, is there some time we need to like learn how to breathe, or is it only when it becomes a problem that we need to do something different?
It depends. If you are experiencing a problem, then absolutely. If you're not sure if you have a problem, if you don't think that there's anything going wrong with your breathing, that might be true, but it might just be masking a different issue. So whether for like my children, you see it manifested all sorts of different ways. In adults, it might look like having TMJ pain, having to wear a night guard because you're experiencing bruxism at night. That bruxing is a big, big sign that something's going on with the airway. You might have a small mouth. People who believe that their tongue is too big for their mouth, their mouth is actually a little too small. You might not think you have a problem because overtly it doesn't look like asthma, COPD, or something that's a giant respiratory diagnosis. It might just be something as small as you're just not capable of achieving a really good breathing pattern.
Talk to me about like our lifestyles these days, like how like modern lifestyles contribute to like our poor oral development. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. And so I think that what's really interesting is that if you were to go down a baby aisle right now, you would see a lot of little cans of mush, a lot of different things that they could suck on, that they could squeeze. And a lot of the foods that if you look at kids when they're older and you start to look at children's menus at restaurants, you notice everything is soft, a lot of soft food in the diet. soft food in the diet is not how we are actually developing our dental arches and our skeletal development optimally. We're actually supposed to be chewing. So when you think about babies, and a lot of people don't think about why they give a baby a teether. When you have a baby that is having a tooth that's erupting, you're like, oh, poor baby, let me give you this teether to suck on. A lot of times when they're sucking or chewing on it, what they're really doing is stimulating that jaw and bone development. So it's helping the tooth to erupt through the gums. So you're actually helping your child by having them chew. But then for some reason, as soon as those teeth have come in, now we start giving them all sorts of things to suck on. That way they can suck on applesauce out of a tube or instead of chewing. But the chewing is actually how we continue that development. And so our diet today, where we don't have a lot of hard, crunchy, tough food. Uh-oh, is there a fire?
I hope not.
I hope not either.
I'll tell you what. Okay. You talk about applesauce and stuff. I'm going to check the halls.
Okay.
I love doing live shows. I'll be right back with you. It's all
no
about
problem.
You.
No problem. No problem.
If I'm going to burn up, I'll let you know.
Okay, please do. Okay. Be safe.
Okay. You just keep talking about food and chewing.
I will talk about all of the soft foods. So the applesauces and having the soft foods in the diet, it's actually detrimental to craniofacial growth and development. When we're chewing, we're actually stimulating a lot of those jaws to become wider. So there was a wonderful dentist, Dr. Weston Price, that did a wonderful study where he went to 8 different countries and really looked at indigenous people, people who live more of a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, who live more naturally in a way where they're not going to the supermarket to acquire their next meal. So there's not as many processed foods. They have to eat food that's maybe grown in the ground. They have to eat food that they would maybe eat and consume raw, some of the food, the vegetables and so forth. And so as they are doing this research, Dr. Weston Price and his team are doing this research, they're discovering that the dental arches on these people are significantly bigger and broader than our arches here and for modern industrialized society, that they are not experiencing as many of the dental decays and dental, you know, issues and problems that our modern society does. So we're really at a deficit for how we're living now with all the processed soft foods, because we're not developing our arches, we're not stimulating our jaws in the way that we should to get and to fit all 32 sets of teeth.
Well, I want to like give you props for like holding it down while we put out the fires here.
No problem.
That's awesome. So yeah, I heard parts of that while I was running up and down the hall talking to neighbors. So, but it looks like we're all good. No fire trucks yet. All right. Let's continue this awesome, awesome discussion. One of the things that I definitely want to talk about is relaxation techniques. Okay. Before we go to bed, before, so that we can help get everything back together. And I want to get to that part because I know me, I never relax. So talk about relaxation techniques just for a little bit.
Relaxation is key. So like I mentioned before, the first stage of sleep is really that light stage where everything is starting to relax. If you've got to work your way into that stage, if you are just coming off of, okay, I just finished this big report from work and I just got to close this laptop and then I'm just going to lie down and go straight to sleep. A lot is still going on with your mind. Your mind is still racing. You might still have things that are going on in there that are now going to wake you up a little bit later. So we've got to start creating some consistent boundaries with our sleep and how we're going to have our sleep processes. Work your way down for sleep. Start to create a self-care routine that involves you taking, even if it's 5 minutes, prior to getting into bed, you need to relax and unwind the mind. You can journal. Journaling is a great way to relax, to download all your thoughts. That way you don't wake up in the middle of the night in a panic. Oh my gosh, I forgot about this thing. And now it's the only thing you can think of and you can't get back to sleep. Journal. Have a journal by the bed. Do some conscious breathing. Conscious breathing is a great way to relax, and it's a great way to understand and to know your breath better. You can do something as small as just doing a little face mask. You could take a bath before you go to sleep. Create a practice around how you are going to work your way and work your body into sleep. It's a significantly better tip and trick to do to get yourself into stage one sleep than any of the other sleep tips that you might find when you go Googling for stuff.
By the way, do you ever try meditating before you go to sleep? Because for me, when I do it, I just meditate right into sleep.
Well, when I meditate, it's typically consciously breathing. So I'm doing some sort of breathing exercise. And so, yeah, a lot of times that does put me into sleep because, you know, just working on your breathing and relaxing is a great way to initiate stage one.
So for people that don't have a routine yet, you know, what kind of things can they do so that they can start to get that routine, get that support, and just start to establish what kind of habits are good? Like, you know, eating before bed, not so good, I'm guessing. But there are other things that you can do. So what's a good routine you would tell, like a generic routine you can tell somebody?
Absolutely. So I want you to first think about the timing of such. You want to be as consistent as possible. So people talk about circadian rhythm all the time, but nobody really thinks about the fact that it actually is a rhythm, like, which means you have to have a routine, a set routine. So is 10 p.m. your bedtime? That might be your first thing. So what are you going to do from 9 to 10? That might be a really great place to start. Where is your bedtime? And then how much longer before it are you going to start that wind down routine? Your wind down routine may consist of what's very common for many of us, oral hygiene, where you may brush your teeth, you'll floss, hopefully you're flossing, you're doing your mouthwash, you're doing all that sort of stuff. But let's not just think about our oral hygiene. Let's go just a little bit north and start to think about our nasal hygiene. That way we can optimize where we are going to be breathing from, and our body doesn't have to worry about that while we're sleeping. So implement a simple nasal hygiene routine. That can be as small as having a saline rinse or spray where you're just spraying something up your nose, or you can have a good irrigation system, kind of like those pots that people might use, where you're going to flush up one and come down the other nostril.
Wait, you got to stop right there, because I've seen the little pots, and you put them in your nose, and I'm just trying to figure out, it goes in your nose, somehow not choking me and going down my lungs, but it's coming out the other side. I get the principle, but I'm not feeling the love.
I get it. It is a definitely weird sensation to do for the first time and to understand what's going on anatomically. I understand wholeheartedly, but it is the best way to really help your nasal passages, because it's going to help to line those passages, cleanse them out, and prepare you for good breathing. I think it is a phenomenal method.
I'm going to have to be in the emergency room when I try it. Okay. I'm just saying.
Maybe that's what the alarms were. Somebody nearby. So nasal hygiene, that's a really great routine. So incorporate that. That's a very easy, simple step. You can find saline everywhere, including the dollar store. So there is no limit to the saline. Do not create your own salt water rinse at home. It's not going to be the same as saline wash. So please use a saline rinse. So incorporate that with your oral hygiene and just keep that as one set routine. Then create a small relaxation self-care routine.
Okay.
Whether you're reading a book, whether you are, you know, washing your face, you're doing something, and wind your way down.
Okay. All of this is leading to the idea of being able to have better productive goals throughout your day, your week, your life, right? And like, what do you think are the daily habits that people can get into that'll help them, you know, I guess, focus and become better stewards of their body, their lives, and make just better choices? What are those things?
Absolutely. So part of your daily habits and routine should really start from the second you wake up. The second you wake up, a lot of people go and they look straight for coffee or something to kind of stimulate them. The best way you can get that stimulation and to really encourage your circadian rhythm to regulate optimally is by getting yourself exposed to the sun. So get out, experience the sun. Come right from your bed to your window, your closest window. Hopefully you have windows. If you have windows, get to your closest window, open up a window, and just let some sunlight hit you. That's going to impact your mood. That's going to impact your alertness, and that's going to get your circadian rhythm to start adjusting. And so that's better than any coffee you can have. I know there's going to be a lot of people who are not going to like that, who are going to say, no, I need my coffee. Get your coffee after your sun, okay? Get your sun first. That's going to be the best way for you to kick off the day. And then set an intention, have an accountability partner. Accountability partners are a phenomenal way to start off your day. What is your intention for the day? What's the one thing you absolutely must accomplish? Let your accountability partner know that. If it's a spouse, a bed partner, a loved one, whoever it is, let your accountability partner know, today I am 100% going to finish my laundry. If that is your goal for the day, now you have an accountability partner who knows that, someone to answer to by the end of the day. Did you finish your laundry? Yes, I did. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I want to just say, for all the people who popped in into the middle and they were looking at dental hygiene and myofunctional everything, and they end up in inspirational mode, it all started with having good dental hygiene.
Absolutely.
It makes perfectly good sense when you start at the beginning. You go like, okay, I can see how this impacts my life now. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
So,
health is really from the top down. I think we all need to start thinking about it in that way.
I want to learn more about you and about what you think and do, and not just the theory. We're going to play a little game here called This or That. I'm going to ask you a question. I'll give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And if you feel like you have to explain yourself on some of the questions, I guess we can allow that.
Okay.
Let me see. I've got easy questions here. Let's do questions that relate more to your book and stuff. How about, we'll see who paid attention. Mouth, breathing through your nose or mouth?
Nose breathing.
There you go.
Every time.
Yep. Yoga breathing exercises or myofunctional therapy exercises?
Myofunctional therapy, I am biased, but, you know, because we are predominantly nasal in, nasal out, whereas yoga might have a mouth exhale here and there, I think nasal in, nasal out is significantly better overall.
You know, it's interesting because I've done like different exercise routines and breathing, and they always say it's nose and mouth out, but and because you get that bad air out of your mouth and the good in through your nose. What, you go nose in, nose out?
Yeah, nose in, nose out. I think the concept is that when you're exhaling with a mouth breath, that you're eliminating more carbon dioxide. You can just take a longer nasal exhale and accomplish the same goal.
Okay. I'm going to have to learn how to rebreathe, by the way. Okay. sleep with one or two pillows?
One. You want to be as flat almost as possible.
Okay. Night guard or get braces?
Oh my gosh, get braces. Night guards sometimes make sleep so much worse.
Gotcha. About with consistency in sleep schedule, early to bed, early to rise, or late to bed, late to rise?
And I can't pick both.
No.
For me, early to bed, early to rise. That's how I like it.
How about focus on diet? More fruits and vegetables or more protein?
More fruits and vegetables. The nutrients, very big thing.
Yeah, I've just gotten back into doing more vegetables myself, and I can tell you it makes a huge difference.
It does. Game changer.
It does. How about meditation or physical exercise?
Meditation. That one was a tough one.
Yeah, I pick meditation because I don't go outside, but I'm bouncing on that one back and forth myself.
Yeah.
Treatment for sleep apnea. How about CPAP machine or myofunctional therapy?
If you're mild to moderate, myofunctional therapy. Severe than CPAP, but...
Yeah. About improving productivity. How about more hours working or optimize sleep?
Optimize sleep. That's the only way you're going to get some more productive hours working. You could be spending your whole day at work and do a whole lot of nothing. I'm sure we all know somebody that does that.
Okay. How about what's the preferred sleep environment? Complete silence or white noise?
It's a personal preference. I like complete silence.
Yeah, like I like that too. I also like blackout curtains, but I don't have any, so that would be the next thing I want to get. Okay, so as far as the future of dentistry, how about more focus on cosmetic procedures or functional ones like myofunctional therapy?
More focus on function. The
Okay.
industry is certainly making the shift.
How about last one, health priorities, prevention through lifestyle changes or treatment after symptoms appear?
Prevention.
Yeah.
Always big on prevention. That's dentistry's whole thing, and I think that's the big goal with Mayo too, prevention.
It's interesting because I think a lot of our healthcare system, not just dentistry, is, giving the pill after somebody has the too high blood pressure or, working on weight after you're overweight rather than exercising up front, that sort of thing. So I would love to see more preventive stuff happen in our world. Let's make sure people can get in touch with you. Okay. We've got your website, themyospot.com and airwaymatters.blog. People can find you there. They can also find you on social media at Facebook and Instagram at themyospot and on Twitter at myospot. LinkedIn, we've got you at Carice Laguerre. That's for everyone who's listening. That's KareseLaguerre. So replay that so you can hear that again. And we've got your amazing book, Accomplished: How to Sleep Better, Eliminate Burnout, and Execute Goals. We went through a little bit of that today. I would love to go through more of it myself and just learn how to breathe better and be better at everything that I do. Thank you for writing that. I'm going to leave your website online so people can see it. That's themyospot.com. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again sometime in the future.
Absolutely, I would love it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thanks for keeping it down while the alarm was going off. That was awesome.
No problem.
All right, everybody. We'll see you again on the next show. We out.